All right, welcome in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 7 a.m. Friday, September 23rd. We're heading into week four of the college football season. We got a lot of college football news to get to. Zach Calzada going to have surgery, will be out for the rest of the season, so he will not be in the plans for the Auburn Tigers the rest of this year. Reports saying that he will stay in school, come back, and compete for the job again next year. Justin Hokanson, who reported that, he's going to join us today at 9:20. We'll get the latest from him. We'll get into that conversation then. Don't want to spend too much time in it because, you know, Fridays are for Max Ball. We go into all the games that are coming up. But TJ Finley is going to be out of this game, GMAC, and now you know you will not see Zach Calzada. So just from a quarterbacking perspective, want to get your thoughts on this Auburn offense heading into play a Missouri team that defensively hasn't played great football yet, but they do have talent. They do have disruptors up front that can be problematic.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about I obviously know plenty about Robbie Ashford. I don't know a whole lot about Holden Griner, so tell me about him. What do we know about him?
Freshman.
I know that.
Throws the ball
well,
apparently.
I know he's got a good arm. I know he's got a solid arm, nice arm talent. But what else? Do we know anything else?
I mean, I was at practice, saw him throw it a couple of times. I do think he spins it well. I think he's got a strong arm. He's not, you know, physically not a big kid like in stature, but I mean we've seen enough examples of that in college football. It's not going to make a huge difference. So
like Sean White, small?
No, I don't know. I think he's a little bigger than that. I think he's a little taller than that, first off. But I mean, he's not, you know, I mean, he's like a little smaller than you, maybe like an inch shorter than you around that size. So, you know, he's not Jim Druckenmiller or anything running out there or Will Levis, but I mean, he's fine. I don't think that's going to be an issue for him at all. It's just, and we're talking about a freshman who didn't get a lot of reps in fall, and, you know, he's obviously hadn't had a lot of live reps with ones or twos just because he wasn't expected to be in this position, and now here we are. So from a playbook's perspective, I don't even know exactly what you can go into. I don't know what you feel comfortable with, especially considering the guy who's going to have to start and be your main guy is somebody who was already limited just as far as what you're actually giving him week in, week out anyway.
Yeah, and I think you can play as a freshman nowadays, and the offense have gotten simple enough. Plus, I mean, based on what I've seen from Auburn, it's not like they're that deep in the playbook with the other two guys either. I mean, it's not like they're pulling out all the stops and they're making all these adjustments, checks, and audibles at the line of scrimmage. I mean, I think you can put the freshman out there in a doomsday scenario and you can probably figure it out. He's probably going to make a bunch of mistakes, probably not ready, but it is what it is. It's a need situation. So clearly major issues there at the position with TJ Finley not being available. This quarterback situation is just a complete mess. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Bobby Asher's not ready. Holden Griner's not ready. And these guys are now going to be expected to at least pick up an SEC win. That's asking a lot. Not saying that you can't do it. They have a much better team than Missouri. This should be a win this week because they should be able to run the ball as often and as effectively as they want to. But if for whatever reason Missouri plays well defensively and for whatever reason Auburn struggles both offensively and defensively, then this could become a fourth quarter dogfight in which quarterbacks win in the fourth quarter. And that's something that would concern me a little bit this weekend, knowing you have such an experience at the position.
Well, I think also too, I mean, if you're Blake Baker, all of a sudden you're sitting there and you're saying, I mean, it's attack time, right? Like, let's load the box. Let's come up with every stunt and pressure that we got. To me, that's the mindset now from Missouri defensively that you take into this game. It's why would we hold anything back? Why would we sit and wait? Why would we even play base defense? Let's at least present pressure. Let's present problems. We know the offensive line struggled to pick some things up at times. They haven't necessarily been, you know, playing B+, A- football. If I were an Auburn offensive lineman or a member of that football team on the offensive side of the ball that's going to be close to the ball, I would expect anything and everything up front. I think you'll get it all. And then I know some of that might be irresponsible, especially against a zone scheme, but you can pick it up and you have a back that can take it to the house. But I would go in thinking I would rather be problematic for inexperienced quarterbacks that might not be able to handle, even pre-snap might not be able to handle some of the things we can throw at them.
Yeah, and I remember this time last year too. Who wants to remember back to week four of last year? I believe in week two they played Penn State. It was week three they played Penn State. Week four they played Georgia State. And then it was week five that they went on the road and played LSU, correct?
I believe so. That sounds
right.
This
feels a little bit like the week before they went to LSU, doesn't it? Feels a little bit like that weekend because it's feeling to me Like, everyone and their brother is talking about how awful Auburn is. Everyone's talking about how negative everything is. Everyone's talking about how the sky is falling and how it's odd. They're talking about coaching replacements and all these other things. It just feels very eerily similar to where they were at this point last year before they got hot. I'm not saying they're going to get hot here and start ripping off wins against teams no one expect that, you know, they're going to just start ripping off wins against. But, I mean, this feels a little bit like the post-Georgia State-Auburn discussion last year. And I don't know if I'm necessarily to completely jump off the cliff.
The problem is you at least had an experienced quarterback at that point. I think there were some
We weren't even sure. They didn't even want him in there. They wanted him benched.
No, that's from a fan perspective, I think that's more than accurate. Absolutely. So, I kind of flip it to the other side, and I think the way that you're viewing the Auburn perspective from a year ago, I almost look at the Missouri perspective of that heading into this game for them, as in, all right, you had a game against Abilene Christian where you built some confidence, you found some playmakers, you had a couple of guys show up for that game that now you look at it and say, listen, if we feed you the football, you can make things happen. There are going to be ways for you to go make plays. And you had an Auburn defense that let a lot of folks down last week. So they won't get the same looks in the run game this week as they did last week. Some will be similar. But that to me, is kind of how you look back and see that, all right, you know, Brady Cook's a guy that showed what he can do against Abilene, you know, 71%, 297 yards, found his playmakers. It's a different defense. I get that. But, you know, between some of the guys like Luther Burden on the perimeter, forcing him the football, different things, I feel like the confidence has to lie a little bit more with the Missouri Tigers as opposed to the Auburn Tigers, even if you are re-tinkering your offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably pretty confident if you're Missouri, but it's false confidence. Against Power 5 competition this year, you've looked awful. So, I mean, far worse even than what Auburn looked like last week. So, Missouri's confidence should not exactly be overflowing. They might feel good about what they did last week. Great, that was FCS football. Not even a good FCS program, I might add. So, I'm not going to try to sit here and all of a sudden start trying to shoot holes in the opponent. No, that's not what I'm tasked to do. But I would tell you this, like if Missouri's coming in with an edge in confidence, then that edge in confidence needs to evaporate very quickly because there is absolutely nothing that they've done this year that they should feel confident about, just being completely honest.
No, I mean, I get it. It's just now you got a team that seems to be reeling coming in. So, obviously, Missouri at Auburn coming up this Saturday morning, and you look at it and just say, all right, how's that thing? How's it going to go? You know, what's the mood going to be like for an Auburn football team that was blown out the last time they took that field and then now having to deal with some quarterback issues? And then on top of that, you get your quarterback who's out, who's not going to play, and his dad's going on podcasts talking about how he doesn't like how things have been managed. Just well, regardless
maybe
of what
his son, if his son was playing better, it wouldn't be managed that way. So that's the way I would say it. Like, it's nothing personal. I mean, I like TJ.
No, it's not personal at all, but you have to look at it from both sides. Like you're saying, right. If you're going to say, you know, hey, the rotation hasn't been fair and hadn't been able to get into a rhythm, you've had a lot of snaps. You've had three games. You've thrown four picks, 20 incompletions. Your completion percentage is not where it needs to be. Look at it from both sides. I mean, listen, you're a dad. I'm a dad. We have a lot of moms and dads listening to the show. We're going to protect our kids. That is what it is. I would never be upset at a guy for going out trying to look out for his son, trying to take care of his son. But in a situation like this, when you want to call people out, you want to be critical of how certain things are handled, you have to look at it from both sides. It's only fair. And the performance has not necessarily been where it needs to be. But I will say, you know, some of the rotation, we've talked about it, Greg. Some of the rotation hadn't necessarily been sensical.
I mean, no doubt.
And it's fine to rotate, but it's just you and
I
have watched it.
I promise you they wouldn't be rotating him if TJ had gone out there and balled out all fall camp. Like, that wouldn't be going on. Like, the rotation exists because doubt exists. Like, if there was no doubt who the guy was, they wouldn't be rotating him. So I understand very much. Like, I'm all about protecting your kids and all this stuff, but, like, these kids want to get paid and make NIL money. Like, you're going to be treated like adults to me. Like, it's simple as that. Like, you don't want to rotate? Fine, play better. Simple as that. I mean, I know that sounds harsh. I know it sounds everyone wants to blame the coaches and the coordinators, how everyone needs to get fired and all that stuff. Well, sometimes you got to blame the players. Like, I mean, sometimes it's on the players. It's simple as that. And frankly, And sometimes it's not all their fault either. Sometimes they're just limited. And in this particular case, I think it's maybe a little bit of both. I think TJ's capable of playing a whole lot better. I think he is, and he hasn't. So why is that? I don't know. That's for him to decide or him to figure out. But he has not played as well as he can. And I'm sure the Robbie Ashford thing probably doesn't help. I mean, I could not imagine having to come out during a series. That would be awful. It'd be terrible. It'd be really annoying. But you know what wouldn't happen? Like if I came out for a series, I would do whatever it took to earn the job full time the following week in practice. And it doesn't sound like that's happened at any point throughout this quarterback derby and competition.
All right, so Brian Harsin last night on Tiger Talk with our buddy Andy Bertram, who joins us Wednesdays, thanks to Craneworks, discussing some of the injury updates, not only for Zach Calzada, but also TJ Finley and the rest of his football team last night.
Yeah, well, I think the one thing, this has always been a policy, but, we talk about guys that have season-ending injuries. We don't talk about every injury.
Right.
And, unfortunately, there's just a lot of information out there. And these poor kids, they're just trying to focus on getting healthy if they're dinged up, trying to prepare themselves for the week. And, that becomes a storyline. And really the storyline for us is what we're trying to do to get prepared for Missouri. And, but those guys have handled it well. I really do. I think those guys have all taken it in stride. And we talk about the noise, and you got to block out that. And, unfortunately, it's impossible for 18 to 22-year-olds to be able to do those things. And so that's what we deal with. We probably spend more time on that than a lot of football that we want to be doing, unfortunately. And, it's not our advantage to really have those conversations and to give information out and those type of things. So everybody, that I've told you that it's able to play, that's really the case.
So Harsin, just on some of the injuries with his team, how they're handling some of those injuries, and it's going to be a different lineup that you'll see, especially on offense coming up into this weekend. One thing he said last night on Tiger Talk that has to change as well is cutting down on mistakes.
Well, besides conditioning. Well, besides conditioning.
Yeah.
All right. You emphasize it. And, that's – it really comes down to one – I mean, we talk about all about the ball, and you've got to take care of that. That's one thing statistically you can show in the game of football. Like, that's going to be the number one factor that changes the game. And our goal every game is to be plus one. So if we don't have any turnovers on offense, you got to at least get one on defense. If you had two, you got to get three. You want to be plus one. And that factor, when you look at games, and, I did a study, when I was at Boise. I mean, we won. You're winning 85% or more of your games when you're winning the turnover battle. So that really is a telling tale of just what happens in the game if there's a turnover battle and you lose that. So the emphasis is taking care of the football. And we were great. Last year's team, and we didn't have very many, and we've got to eliminate that. And then on defense, we got to find ways to get it. So they're aware of it, but it's something that has to change. It's something that, as far as in the game, that's going to really create momentum is getting takeaways and hanging on to football.
All right, so we'll put some of what's going on at Auburn right now on the back burner. Get to that at 9:20 with Justin Hokanson. We've also got John Parker Wilson coming up at 7:20, as he does each and every Friday. And Stanford Steve gives us his thoughts on games coming up for the weekend at 9 o'clock. Have to touch on this just quickly, GMAC. LSU hit by the NCAA yesterday, one-year probation, $5,000 fine. They're going to have to limit their official visits to 55 for the 22-23 calendar year. James Craig, former offensive line coach, going to get hit with a show cause. Just your thoughts on handled properly, too much, not enough from the NCAA as far as what they did and what they handed out to LSU yesterday.
I was kind of pleased with the fact that I think the buck should stop with the coach. I've felt like that for a long time. Like, people keep slapping these institutions with these long, lengthy penalties. And ultimately, the institution is not in charge of the coach. They are to a certain extent, but, like, shouldn't the penalty lie with the coach and wherever he tries to go next? So a three-year show cause to me. Hate that he's an O-line coach because I'm sure he's your boy. But I also think, ultimately, if the coach is the one that is doing wrong, I'm sure there was probably other things going on and people saying, hey, man, you need to do this, you need that. Like, I'm not going to say he was acting alone. I don't think that was the case. But if he was the one that was ultimately wrong, he should be the one that pays the piper. shouldn't be like a 10-year probation period for the school. It should be on the coach, and they should have a lengthy show cause that should be a hurdle to them being hired again. That you want to get these guys scared of cheating, then hit them with things that will not allow them to get back in the game. Like show causes. Now you can't hire this guy. He's untouchable for 3 years. That's taking money out of their pocket. That will adjust behavior. And I think that's the only way to kind of curb some of the behavior that's going on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, and one thing that should aid LSU, at least in the courtroom where they have some legal action going on with James Craig right now, will be the fact that they let him go when they did. Not sure how much that's going to help in the future with the NCAA. So that's LSU. Put that behind us as well because we want to talk about the games coming up this weekend. Quickly hit some of the games from last night. JT Daniels, solid last night for West Virginia. First off, the scene in Blacksburg looked incredible last night.
Oh, yeah.
Something that we just love to see. But West Virginia takes the game 33-10. Daniels goes 20-30, 203. And West Virginia, dominant in almost every facet of this game. On the ground, they outgained Virginia Tech 218-35. 421 to 228 total yards. West Virginia, Greg, had 31 first downs last night. There weren't a lot of answers for Virginia Tech, and we talked about it. We thought West Virginia going to be a little bit of a better team. Didn't think the record really showed it. I think this is the West Virginia team that we thought we were going to see all year long, and maybe a little bit of an indictment on exactly where Virginia Tech is also.
Yeah, they brought five guys back along the offensive line. You bring in a veteran quarterback. You got a game changer, a wide receiver, in Ford Wheaton, number zero. I mean, you have a fairly chaotic defense with how they run their 3-3-5 stuff. Like, I think this West Virginia team, yeah, they're 2-2. All right, but remember how they lost week one to Pitt. A ball went right through their star receiver's hands that was deflected up in the air and returned to the house. That's how they lost week one. They had that game on their racket. They had the ball driving and they had the ball. Well, they're deep in their own end, but they had the ball with an opportunity to go down and steal the game with a field goal. A dropped pass by their best receiver that was on a curl route right on his face mask led to a pick six, and they lost obviously to one of the hotter teams in college football the following week, but I'm sure there were some hangover elements in Kansas. So I think you look at this, man, West Virginia is going to be a problem. Like we've said all along, man, the Big 12, there are but 9 problem teams, maybe 10 now. I mean, who's the team that isn't a problem in the Big 12 right now? Tell me a team that can't win a game. Because there isn't one. And I'm not talking about just like against someone random. I'm talking about anybody. Like any given day, any single team in the Big 12 could beat the top team in the Big 12. And that you could think a lot of Oklahoma. That's not me shooting a hole in Oklahoma. I like Oklahoma a lot. But if they, for whatever reason, are a little off one day on offense and maybe not have their best stuff on defense, maybe give up a penalty or a turnover in special teams and maybe muff a punt or something like that, guess what? They can get got easily against any of the other 9 teams in the league. It's a really fun league right now. It's about as deep as it's been in as long as I can remember.
Yeah, West Virginia, actually the only 2-loss team in the league right now in the Big 12. And Oklahoma, a team that we had to sort of discuss yesterday, hey, are we believing in this team just yet? And didn't have enough time, but wanted to get to Oklahoma State there as well. But still, the Cowboys 3-0 on the year. So, yeah, Big 12 looking like it's going to be a deep conference this year and obviously a lot of fun. Even the bottom of the Big 12 looks like it can be competitive with Texas Tech 2-1, Texas 2-1, and West Virginia, like I mentioned, the only 2-loss team.
Watch, Texas Tech might win this week, by the way.
You like Texas Tech this year.
I kind of like them. I like their quarterback. They got a little juice. They love their offensive coordinator. I think they got a little something. I mean, don't get me wrong. The stars have to align for them to pull it off. And that home field, man, they're rocking right now in Lubbock. I mean, they are on fire. They think they're going to win the national championship, even at 2-1. I mean, they are really excited about what they have, and they should be.
Well, and they got Texas coming to town. Always excited about that one. Everybody wants all the schools
They're spending $20 million on NIL. Texas Tech. I mean, they got kind of sneaky deep pockets.
It's
like
they
kind of got some good things going for them. I'm really happy for those guys.
Let down last week against NC State, but that's a good NC State football team. The Houston win might not look as good now as we thought it was going to be before the season. Houston kind of reeling just a little bit, but we'll see if Dana and those guys can get things turned around. But Texas at Texas Tech coming up this weekend. That's a 2:30 kick on ESPN. Speaking of the bottom of the Big 12 if the bottom of the part of your garage door that goes over where you pull in each and every day is sagging, if the bricks are cracked, if you see shifting in those bricks, you may have a problem with your lintel. That means there could be big problems that can cost you lots of money. And the people at Lintel Lift can help you with that problem and potentially save you thousands of dollars. Their team of experts knows exactly how to repair it, because when you call Lintel Lift at 205-858-LIFT, you're going to talk to my guy, Dan the Lintel Man. He does it himself. He's the one that's going to come out and give you the estimate. And it's not going to be a quote that's going to change. It's going to be an estimate that stays the same no matter what. And Dan's been doing this for a while. He started this business here in Birmingham. He knows exactly how to help you out and exactly how to save you money. They have a patented system that can repair those problems and save you all the money. So go to LintelLiftBham.com or call 205-858-LIFT. That's 205-858-LIFT. Also last night, Coastal Carolina, 41-24 over Georgia State. We thought this was going to be a fun game, competitive game. Coastal looks great. Grayson McCall, 268, two touchdowns.
Got banged up. What did he have? Do you have any idea? Because I was watching it and we didn't have the volume on. Kind of got banged up. Was walking off to the sideline, kind of gingerly off his right leg. If they'd released any prognosis,
yeah, I didn't see an update of what it was as far as his injury. But Coastal outrushes Georgia State, and this is a Georgia State, a team with a solid run game, a really cool run scheme. And they just get stymied, 272-78 on the ground last night. It's a really nice win for Coastal, 41-24. Jamie Chadwell's group might be as expected this season. And then finally, Illinois 31-0 over Chattanooga. They handle their business. So Bielema and company, they get a nice win on the Big Ten Network last night. Not too much to go into with that one. But feeling pretty good if you're Bielema, being able to get that win and get a little bit of extra time to prepare for next week.
Yeah, and I think, by the way, that's a team I really wouldn't want to play. They should be undefeated. They gave up a late touchdown against Indiana on a Friday night a couple weeks ago. But that Illinois team, they got an elite running back, very elite. Chase Brown's the real deal. I think they got really good weapons on the outside for the most part. Quarterback's okay. DeVito, as long as he used to be at Syracuse. Pretty good player, though.
Tommy.
And then defensively, the guys in the front. Remember, we watched them early last year, put on a little tape. Like they have a couple disruptive guys up front that move pretty good, that look like they're pretty good size. So I think they do a good job up there. Obviously, I really like Bielema. I think he's very good for that league. And I think that's a team that has a chance to make a little noise. They will pull an upset this year or two where no one's going to really see it coming, and boom, Illinois is going to knock them off.
If you're upset about your banking situation, well, you got to understand one thing. Banking's not just about you. It's about your money. It's also about getting help with what you need when you need it. AmFirst, founded for members like you, and they've been putting those members first since 1936. Putting you first means services that grow and change with the times to serve you better. Now, every bank has their own app, but that's just it. Theirs, not yours. The AmFirst app was made for you, so it's easy to pay bills, deposit checks, transfer money to friends and family from anywhere. It's even customizable, which means you can personalize your dashboard, create usage alerts, redeem points for rewards. It'll make you feel like the number one priority that you are, and you could do it all in your own time. So what are you waiting for? Get the app made for you from AmFirst. Visit any AmFirst location or AmFirst.org today. America's First Federal Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA. When we come back, John Parker Wilson gives us a little look back at the ULM game and helps us preview Alabama Vandy next on McElroy and Kublik in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kublik in the morning, 7:29 a.m. Friday, September 23rd. I'm in Tuscaloosa getting set for Vanderbilt at Alabama Saturday night at 6:30 on the SEC Network. GMAC in Dallas getting set for what's the name they have for that game?
I don't even know.
It's the fun game. I can't even remember what they call it.
The old Southwest Conference Classic.
There you go, Southwest Classic. That's one of those names. Something in there. So yeah. Somebody going to be drying their tears up after that game Saturday night.
Yeah, probably so. You know how this thing goes. This thing, there's no love lost when Arkansas tips it up against A&M. So you know the winner goes the spoils to the loser. Well, they're just might as well, like you said, have a basement full of tears. Which they probably need to call our friends at Be Dry. They have been serving Central Alabama for more than 60 years with both waterproofing, as you know, but might not know as much about their foundation repair stuff. They are phenomenal when it comes to their foundation repair. All right. They stop all five ways the water enters your foundation. But if you have a crack or something like that, something that's unstable in your foundation, they will get it taken care of. They offer a full life of the structure warranty too, which I love because I know that as long as this house is standing, I know my deal with B-Dry is good. They will take great care of it, and they will back it up because they pride themselves on the professionalism and the fact that every single member of the team is highly trained, licensed, and insured. What I love most, too, they told me, they didn't even tell me this, but I gathered this conclusion. I said, how do you pay your guys that are on the road for you? He goes, well, their salary. So no commissions or anything? No, absolutely not. We don't want them to upsell things and trying to make money off what they sell. We want them to make money off getting the job right, and whatever it costs, it costs. Like, they're not going to make commissions. So what they tell you is exactly what you need. And that's why I think it's really a nice peace of mind knowing that when they come in and make a recommendation, it's for your benefit. Give them a shout today, 942-1976. They're also locally owned and operated, and they've been around, like I said, for 60 years, and they will be around for 60 more, that's for sure. And they will cover your home as long as your home is standing with the life of the structure warranty. 12-month interest free as well. So go to BeDryAlabama.com or call 942-1976. Be Dry Alabama.
All right, he joins us each and every Friday. Thanks to our friends at Crane Works. It's former Alabama quarterback John Parker Wilson.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, Crane Works, Rental Works, yeah, the big dog's got it.
John Parker Wilson on McElroy and Kublik in the Morning is brought to you by Crane Works. Lift it, buy it, rent it, the big dog's got it. Now, John Parker Wilson.
Joining us on the Bud Light Hotline, John Parker, always great to visit with you. Thanks for being with us. Go back to just a week ago to Alabama's game against Louisiana Monroe. A lot of fans came away from that game upset with the offense, frustrated with the offense. What did you see that you felt like was concerning that could carry over to this week and maybe beyond for Alabama's offense last week?
Well, you know, I think we did a lot of good things. I think, you know, first we ran the ball a lot better than we have been. I think 39 rushes, 273 yards, but I think it's been a point of emphasis, you know, really the whole season for our guys up front to be more physical and be more consistent in the run game. And, you know, last week I think they did that. I think they answered the call and had their most physical game as a unit. Obviously got a lot of guys in there to play, but to me, it was the best game up front for the offensive line. Kept Bryce pretty clean all day. I think we gave up only one sack. But to me, the running game is really getting going and continuing to move in the right direction. You know, playing a lot of guys up front, playing six or seven offensive lines. So I think that's one of the highlights. I think, and, you know, in offense, I think we're continuing to develop and figure out the passing game. You know, I think a lot of things the fans will say is, hey, we appear to be pretty good in this hurry up type offense, 2-minute drill, which, you know, we had been success. Bryce has always been extremely good in 2-minute drills and situations where you kind of speed up the offense. So I wouldn't be surprised if Bill O'Brien wouldn't sprinkle that in a little more often than we've seen it, because for whatever reason, our offense seems to be clicking when we do that. But, you know, the thing last week, not a lot of explosives in the pass game, right? Bryce had a couple interceptions on passes downfield, overthrew one, underthrew another one, where guys seemed to be open. So I think this week, getting back to explosives and trying to be, you know, chunks downfield in the passing game.
Well, how much do you think, and I don't know this, I really, really have a theory, though, and you've been around and grown up here, John Parker. How much of the paranoia that Bama fans have showed this week, it's a game against Louisiana Monroe. Like, let's relax, okay? Like, even if they don't go out and score 100 this weekend against Vandy, like, don't panic. It's going to be fine. It's week four, all right? How much of this paranoia, if you will, if there's really no lack of a better word, has to do with the fact that it appears right now like Georgia is clicking on all cylinders?
I think that probably has a little bit to do with it, but I'm with you, Greg. You know, you beat a team 63-7 where it could have been.
Yeah,
know, probably.
I mean, it's like people are so mad about last week's performance. I just can't figure. It's like, dude, 63-7 is fine.
But, okay, I do, but I kind of get it. I kind of get it as I'm watching the President's Cups last night, and I'm ticked off that we didn't shut them out and go 5-0, and Scottie Scheffler can't close out that group and hits it over on. You know,
so you were the one watching last night.
I was watching. I was watching, Greg, I swear to you, I thought about it. I was like, this is kind of like us not beating, you know, teams 100-0, where were cruising. I think the U.S. team is up 4-1 right now. I mean, clearly in control, but it's like we're ticked because Scheffler didn't win his match, and I think that's kind of exactly right. Where you in a football team, you're trying to get better every week. You're not going to be perfect. It's not. I mean, you're playing other scholarship guys. I don't care if it's Luzi Monroe or whoever it is. Like, these guys are good. If you're playing college football, you're a good athlete. You're a good player. And you know, our guys, like last week, to me, the thing that I walked away with is we had great intensity. We had great focus. We cleaned up all the penalties from the week before, even though I was kind of worried after our first snap. We jumped off sides on offense. I was like, here we go. If we have another double-digit penalty day, it's going to be bad news Bears. But, you know, they cleaned it up. They played fast. They played focused. They took care of their business, where basically everybody on the field or that had shoulder pads on for Alabama got in the game. So I was proud of their effort. And, you know, I think now, you know, you're getting an SEC play. You're starting to get into the heat of our schedule, where we go Vandy, we go to Arkansas, come back and have A&M, and then Tennessee. So, I mean, this is when you want to start peaking. And to me, everything I've seen, you know, you have a tough game on the road against Texas, and, you know, maybe Texas was a little undervalued going into that game by, you know, us being, three touchdown favorites. So this team to me is trending in the right direction. Sure, we'd like to be more explosive, but defense is playing fast, and I think this team will continue to get better.
Former Alabama quarterback John Parker Wilson joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. He's with us each and every week, thanks to our friends at Craneworks. He's also helped us hit our golf quota for the rest of this calendar year, so we appreciate that. What about emerging receivers, or let's just say pass catchers? Is there a guy or two that you see that could be seeing more time, could be seeing more targets in the near future with this Alabama offense?
Well, hopefully it continues to skew more receivers. Instead of our leading receiver right now, running back, and Jahmyr Gibbs, but the emerging receivers, you know, tight end Nye Black last week, he caught a touchdown, had his first grab of the season. You know, a good size from him, and you want to see some compliments to Latu. And, you know, Latu had a really good catch, had a streak going down the middle of the field, where he made a pretty athletic move to catch that ball. So it seems that he's back healthy. You know, I think it's very positive to see another tight end try to emerge to get some time where he can actually be influential in the passing game and not just a blocker, not just somebody out there. When we run 12 personnel, that a guy that can actually go and catch the ball. And then, you know, we've seen Kobe Prentice pretty early and often as a true freshman. Kendrick Law is another guy. Isaiah Bond, you know, had a couple issues with drops, so you got to clean it up, or you're just not going to be on the field for Coach Saban. But, you know, I think the guys that we haven't seen, JoJo Earl will have to continue to get better and get that starting job back from Kobe Prentice. But, you know, Tyler Harrell, the transfer from Louisville, we hadn't seen him yet. And I think he could potentially add a huge edge to this offense, where we saw last year with Jameson Williams that was extremely explosive, used his speed, was able to get downfield. And the thing that made Jameson so dangerous last year is not only, sure, he had the speed and he was one of the fastest guys in the country, but he developed and became a really good route runner, a really good just true wide receiver. That's why he got drafted so high last year. So with Harrell being out, we'll see really what he would look like when he came from Louisville, because he hasn't had this time. He'd have been out for the past month or so to develop. But some speed would help, because right now, like I said earlier, you know, down the field shots are kind of lacking for Alabama right now in the pass game.
John Parker, we always appreciate the time, man. You join us each and every week, thanks to our friends at Craneworks.
And Craneworks, with offices in Birmingham, Mobile, and Nashville, Craneworks is the Southeast leader for crane and equipment rental. Give the big dog a call for your next lift, machinery moving, or rigging project. Don't forget, the Rental Works division is ready to serve you with a full line of rental equipment for jobs both big and small, and they always bring along they're qualified operators for all their equipment, including aerial and earth-moving equipment. And WasteWorksUSA.com for every residential and commercial roll-off dumpster needs. So check out everything they got, entire lineup at CraneWorks.com.
All right, John Parker, good stuff. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good weekend, too. Bye.
All right, former Alabama quarterback John Parker Wilson joining us on the Bud Light Hotline with us each and every week. Thanks to our friends at Craneworks. Do you feel like there are more receivers that need to emerge in this offense? Is it just finding different ways to spread the ball around? How do you view the pass catchers as we stand right here, right now, at this point in the season for Alabama GMAC?
Underwhelmed with what I've seen so far. And then what's sad, too, because I was a position group I was very concerned about coming into the year. My concerns dwindled a little bit as they were going through fall camp. And you start to hear some names pop. Then JoJo gets hurt, and it's like, you know, he's a good piece, good run after catch. Like, they can potentially live without him, you hope. But you had heard Trayshon Holding really coming on. You had heard Kobe Prentice really coming on. You had heard other names that were really coming on, quote unquote. What I would say is maybe the receiver position was the beneficiary of substandard corner play. And maybe we didn't know that up until week two of the season. So I think that group is very much a work in progress, but it probably should be. It's a fairly young group, all things considered. And the expectation level at wide receiver is unrealistic. I mean, you just went through a run at wide receiver where you at one point in 10 personnel had five pass catchers eligible in the route that were all first round picks. That is an absurd thought. And that includes Najee Harris coming out of the backfield. Like, the talent that Mac Jones took the field with is not coming back. It's not likely coming back ever to have a collection like that. Okay. It's just not going to happen. It might. I mean, anything's possible, but if you were to bet and say, Greg, put $100, yes, they'll have four wide receivers. They'll go in the first round on the same team. Yes or no? I would say absolutely not. So I think that there's a little bit of an unrealistic and unfair expectation on the outside right now. And these guys are just young and they're working through some things. And they better work through them quick, though, because the competition's about to level up here pretty quick.
Absolutely. Expectations always fair at Michelson Laser Vision, because the expectation is for them to be the best, and they are. Dr. Mark Michelson, first surgeon to perform the LASIK procedure in the state of Alabama, national pioneer in the field. For 30 years, Dr. Michelson has been on the forefront of corrective laser surgery right here in the United States. His research has contributed to FDA approval of the LASIK procedure, one that I had from him over 20 years ago. I called 205-969-8100, set up the consultation, told Dr. Mark Michelson, listen, man, I'm tired of the glasses. I don't want to deal with the contacts anymore. These cases, solution at night, getting rid of it. It's too much. He said, you're a candidate. He said, technically, you're legally blind. Had the procedure done. Easy, pain-free. I was back at work in a day. Walked out of there feeling like my vision was perfect. I feel like it's still perfect today, over 20 years later. You guys know how important my vision is for me at work. I'll be inside Bryant-Denny Stadium Saturday night. Got to see what's going on across the field, behind the bench, long ways away. And thanks to Dr. Mark Michelson, I'm going to be able to see perfectly in any stadium that I enter this football season. Dr. Jennifer Michelson now joined their practice right there at UAB Highlands for comfortable and convenient care. And remember, variety of easy and affordable payment plans available at Michelson Laser Vision. So visit MichelsonLaserVision.com, find more information, or call 205-969-8100 to set up a free consultation today. All right, Max Ball, getting into games when we come back next right here on McElroy and Kubelik in the Morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the Morning, 7:49 a.m. It is Friday, September 23rd. As we continue to roll along right here on Jocks 94.5, listen online, jocksfm.com. Browns take out the Steelers last night, 29-17. O-line not good for Pittsburgh. Quarterback not good for Pittsburgh. George Pickens good for Pittsburgh. Ridiculous catch last night for the Hoover product. But the Browns get to 2-1. Steelers go to 1-2 on Thursday night NFL football last night.
Yeah, really, really impressive catch down the left sideline. Like, that was, they did a side-by-side with the OBJ Odell catch.
Yeah,
and that one, I thought you could make a case, was maybe even more impressive. But either way, Pickens off to a really nice start in his NFL career. Speaking of a nice start, way to start my Friday is go get some dental care, get taken care of. You can also go on Saturday, too, if you choose Family Care Dental. They have three locations in Hoover, in Fultondale, and in Homewood. They're accepting patients of all ages for emergencies or routine dental appointments. Most insurance plans are accepted as well. And you need an emergency, you can't get immediate help, you need it on your schedule, these guys will take care of. take care of you. That's the beauty of Family Care Dental. 874-9605. That's 874-9605. Family Care Dental, 874-9605.
All right, pretty big one in the Big 12. You mentioned a lot of good games this weekend in the Big 12. K-State, Oklahoma coming up. And, you know, K-State, after that Missouri game, we thought that, okay, this is it. This is maybe who we thought they were going to be. Looks like they're going to be for real. And then, obviously, a letdown the following week. This Oklahoma team, we're still kind of waiting. But it looks like a lot is really good for this football team right now. They come in 3-0. K-State comes in 2-1. This should be a great test physically for Oklahoma, G-Mac, especially on defense. We'll find out if that front is ready to handle teams that are going to try to come right at them, going to try to punch them in the mouth. Obviously going to be able to push the ball down the field. We mentioned it yesterday. Dylan Gabriel has just been incredible. You put the film on and watch him. I mean, he is throwing darts. Has not thrown an interception this year. He's been fantastic. The skill for Oklahoma is fine. The O-line is fine. I just kind of want to see that defense with this test, how they're going to react, how they're going to handle it at home.
Yeah, and I think, too, no team, if we're looking at recent history, no team has given Oklahoma more problems in the last handful of years than Kansas State. It's where Brent Venables went to school, ironically enough. And I know it's a new regime, and Oklahoma fans will point to the fact that it's a new regime, understandably so. That's fine. But the Wildcats are the only team in the country to beat the Sooners twice since 2019. And they're the only school to beat Oklahoma in Norman. OU went 8-1 against Kansas State when Venables was there the last time as the defensive coordinator. So they have fared really well against Kansas State when Venables is on the staff, though. So maybe it's a little bit different. It does appear like the defense is making some positive returns. They're allowing just 4 yards of play. They're allowing less than 3 yards of carry. Both are in the top 25 in college football. So there's positives on defense right now, but also, as we've noted, the level of competition has not been there just yet. So hopefully, fingers crossed, this will be the opportunity for Oklahoma to kind of flex and show us, hey, man, we can do it against quality teams too. Because I think all of us, whether you think Kansas State's legit or not, I think we all view them as a postseason bowl team at the very least. So if they can handle them rather easily, that would go a long way in continuing to sell me on what Oklahoma's built already.
Yeah, absolutely. Some balance for K-State's got to come around. They have more punt return touchdowns than they do passing touchdowns this year. So Adrian Martinez being able to get going, trying to find some things through the air. They're not going to do a ton of it. They're not going to throw 35, 40 times a game. It's not who they are. But got to take advantage of some of those play-action moments, some of the leakage out of the backfield with different routes that you feel like are going to be open, especially with some of the run game that you're going to show. Got to keep that Oklahoma defense off balance. What do you feel like Coach Klieman and K-State – try to shorten this game? Is that the strategy for the Wildcats heading in here, especially on the road?
It's got to be. But I think that's the – I'm not sure anything's changed with Oklahoma there. That no matter who the coach is, as long as they're continuing to run tempo offense and a rhythmic style offense, you have to shorten the game. If you give their offenses too many possessions, your defense is going to completely get gassed out. And I think you're really going to have a difficult time containing that offense because Levy's going to find something against you and will use it over and over and over again. He'll call the same play 10 straight times if he has to until you make an adjustment. So it is definitely, I think it's a very difficult offense to prepare against. But yes, if your offense can play a little defense for you, then that's definitely a good start with where they're going. But hey, we all know Venables is a sign stealer, you know? So that's something that you got to be mindful of too. So muddle huddles, short huddles, things like that. That is really beneficial when playing against, you know, a Venables coach team. And the teams that have used that and shrunk the game appropriately, the defense doesn't play as good with some muddle huddles. But if you just try to do what you do, he's going to get a beat on your signals and you're going to be in trouble.
9 offensive touchdowns for K-State, tied for 92nd in college football. And Dylan Gabriel, as we mentioned, he is one of 6 FBS quarterbacks with 3 wins, 5 touchdown passes, and not an interception this year. Hendon Hooker, Stetson Bennett, Garrett Schrader, C.J. Stroud, Caleb Williams, the others to be able to pull that off, all playing at a very high level. So just one of the games coming up this weekend we're excited about. We got a lot more to get into, a lot more to discuss. We haven't spent a lot of time just on Alabama-Vanderbilt, the actual matchup, what that's going to look like, where things could be problematic, different things that we like for both sides of this game coming up Saturday night right here in Tuscaloosa, where I am. G-Mac in Dallas getting set for A&M Arkansas. He'll be on the call for that one. and our Alabama opponent preview brought to you by JD's Market and Spirits. That comes up next right here on McElroy and Kublik in the morning.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.